This episode of Lay a Foundation is sponsored by Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it is the easiest way to make a podcast. It's free. There are tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. It's everything you need to make a podcast, all in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That is anchor.fm to get started. We love you, Anchor. Hey, y'all. My name's Casey, and welcome to the third episode of Lay a Foundation. I'd like to start off by apologizing for the delay in this episode's release, but I'm excited to finally get it out to you all, and thank you so much for your patience. Today, we are talking about Brown versus Board of Education, or its full title, Brown versus Board of Education of Topeka, which was argued before Warren Supreme Court in 1945. This is honestly one of the cases for which a summary on this podcast is probably least needed. Warren's summary was intentionally as accessible as possible because he felt it was necessary for all Americans to be able to understand the logic used by the court in its decision. So if you're interested in learning more, you can actually find Warren's court decision, and I would highly recommend you go read it if you want to learn more about what they said. That being said, let's get into it. So firstly, context. In 1896, the case of Plessy versus Ferguson, which I will likely dedicate a separate episode to sometime in the future, ruled that segregation was legal as long as every facility for black people was of equal caliber as the corresponding facility for white people. This established the so-called separate but equal doctrine, and this was what a large amount of life in the United States was built on at the time, including public schools. However, despite the segregation being made legal due to the notion of separate but equal, schools for black children across the country often lacked basic necessities like running water or electricity. There are several notable examples of these disparities that were incredibly clear, such as black schools being significantly smaller or underfunded. In fact, it was shown that one South Carolinian elementary school district at the time spent $149 per year on every white student, while spending only $43 per year on every black student. I also want to go into a bit of context about Warren's court, which I haven't done before, but I look forward to hearing what you guys think about this addition. Warren's court is often considered to be the most liberal court in US history. Not only did he preside over this case, but some of the other most notable cases were Baker versus Carr and Reynolds versus Sims, which together resulted in the one man, one vote notion, and also a couple cases incredibly key in defining due process rights, including Gideon versus Wainwright and Miranda versus Arizona. Generally speaking, Warren's court based a lot of their decisions on broader ethical dilemmas rather than narrower matters of interpretation. Historian Bernard Schwartz stated that Warren's court was most effective when the political institutions had defaulted on their responsibility to try to address problems such as segregation and cases where the constitutional rights of defendants were abused. By the 1950s, the NAACP was helping individuals file lawsuits against the segregation of elementary schools across the country. The one we'll be talking about today is the most well-known of these lawsuits. The plaintiff of this particular case, Oliver Brown, filed a lawsuit against the Board of Education of Topeka, Kansas, when his daughter Linda was denied admission to an all-white elementary school. In the lawsuit, Brown made the claim that schools accessible for black children were not equal to the schools for white children, therefore violating the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. This clause reads that no state can, quote, deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. The argument was simple, that the laws were not providing equal protection to people of color. This lawsuit, along with four other similar cases from across the country, were all brought to the Supreme Court together under the umbrella of Brown versus Board of Education. However, the question was not solely based on Brown, and was in fact being asked all across the country. Does the segregation of public education based solely on race violate the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment? The justices ruled unanimously that the racial segregation of children in public schools was unconstitutional. It ruled that separate but equal facilities are inherently unequal and violate the protections of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The court reasoned that the segregation of public education based on race instills a sense of inferiority that has a detrimental effect on the education and personal growth of Black children. Uniquely, Warren based much of his opinion on information from social science studies rather than court precedent in this case. However, the decision itself did not actually specify how schools should be desegregated, and so no immediate desegregation effort started. Because of this, the decision had very little impact on the community level, or impact on the school districts that had been defendants in these lawsuits. In the Brown versus Board 2 case in 1955, the court passed the responsibility off to local courts and authorities, urging them to act swiftly. Still, in the South, in 1964, almost a decade after the decision in Brown versus Board 2, 98% of Black children still attended segregated schools. In fact, in 1958, there was a, quote, Southern Manifesto, endorsed by many members of Congress, urging states to stand against school desegregation by whatever lawful means were at their disposal. Nevertheless, it is indisputable that Brown's legal victory in this case was an incredibly important step towards desegregation in this country. The desegregation of schools was a catalyst for the civil rights movement, and ultimately led to desegregation in other areas of life in the United States, including housing and universities. One article I particularly appreciated read that the decision gave hope to millions of Americans by permanently discrediting the legal rationale underpinning the racial caste system that had been endorsed or accepted by governments at all levels since the end of the 19th century, and its impact has been felt by every American. I thought that summed up the case very well in terms of its implications. Before I sign off, as always, here are our takeaways. Hearing from 5 lawsuits brought before the Supreme Court, Warren's court ruled that the segregation of public schools was unconstitutional, and that resources that are separate but equal are inherently unequal. Though logistically this case did not accomplish its goal of immediate public school desegregation, it was a huge catalyst for American desegregation as a whole and the civil rights movement. And that was Lay a Foundation for the case of Brown versus Board of Education. See you next week, and in the meantime, check out the podcast on Instagram at Leia Foundation. Have a good one.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.